You're listening to a journalism.co.uk podcast. I'm Sarah Marshall.
My name is Malika Bilal. I am currently the digital producer slash co-host. It's a double titled position at The Stream. We are a television show that runs 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday. It's about 25-30 minute show with a pre and a post show that runs online. You can, of course, catch the show online, but it also runs on TV on Al Jazeera English. And basically what it is there's a different show topic for each day. And the show topics are either pitched to us by members of our community who reach out and say, oh, we want you to cover this story, or, you know, we're following this and we'd like you to look more into it. Or they're, you know, things that we've seen through our own networks, basically, things that are not really covered elsewhere. We try not to do stories that are covered in other, you know, mainstream media organizations, and also even stories that our Al Jazeera news team has done. We try to do stories that you haven't heard about before, and that's kind of the whole point. So this is discovering and telling these untold stories that we a lot of times get first because we're going straight to the sources, which are the bloggers and the social media activists who help get that story out before other mainstream outlets get it. Each day has a show topic, and we delve into that topic. We have a guest or two guests on Skype who Skype in, and then we have a couch guest who sits on our infamous orange couch and offers their perspective and analysis. And they also serve as another interviewee. And then the two hosts who moderate and kind of direct the conversation, but who also rely heavily on people who tweet in with their comments, their questions, their thoughts. And then occasionally what we've started to do is introduce the use of Google Hangouts, which are really actually very cool, if I do say so myself, which is basically we'll have a Hangout with maybe 4 or 5 people from around the world, depending on the topic. And they'll either be, you know, students who are studying that topic or people who are experts in that field or someone who has experience in whatever the topic of the day is.
The very first topic of the very first day The Stream was broadcast on TV was a big one.
On the very first day, of which I wasn't a part of the show yet then, but I was an active member of their online community, they had a show story, a show topic all planned, and then Osama bin Laden was killed. And it just so happened that the person who became famous afterwards, a person who was in the neighborhood in Abbottabad, heard this commotion, wondered what it was, and took to Twitter and started kind of live tweeting the event. It turned out what he was hearing was, you know, the U.S. raid against Osama bin Laden in Pakistan. So the Stream producers completely changed around their topic for that day and decided that, you know, this is breaking news and it has a social media angle, which is what we look for. They Skype in the man who was live tweeting the raid, and, you know, it basically ran from there. So since then, we've covered, you know, Egypt's elections and the aftermath of the uprising, and had, you know, activists from Egypt on the show. Just this week, because it's more fresh in my memory, on Monday we did a show about Sweden's what's being called is their cake gate controversy, which is this cake art installation that a government minister was seen, was photographed eating and laughing, and the cake was seen as being having racial undertones. And so what we did was one of our very intrepid producers here got a hold of the person who made the cake, the artist behind it, and this is something that, you know, you wouldn't have seen anywhere else because no one else is talking to him. She did a Skype interview with him. We popped that online, and that just kind of further thickened the plot, if you will, because it was this behind-the-scenes look at, yes, there's this controversy, and this picture was out with this minister eating this quote-unquote racist cake, but here is the person behind the cake, and this is what he thinks, and this is why he says it's not racist. So there was this different angle, and I think that's what The Stream does best, is kind of give you a different angle that you might not otherwise have thought about.
Another area where The Stream excels is through using every form of social media engagement imaginable. It storifies key topics, accepts audio recording to the website, integrates Twitter, Facebook, it uses Pinterest, Skype and YouTube. And the people within the social media community get a buzz if their story is included.
For the most part, people really are just interested in the stories that we cover, and that's because we get those stories from them. So they're really excited when a story that they've suggested or a story that they're interested in, they're following, gets covered. And then, of course, they and then their friends will tweet in or write Facebook posts. We'll just try to make sure that their voices are then heard, or that we're making sure that we cover an angle that, you know, they think we may not have known about. So just a sense of numbers, I'm on our Twitter page right now. The stream has 35,243 followers, which is a really awesome number, and definitely more than any of the other shows on our news network. But that's because we rely very heavily on Twitter, and we rely very heavily on the people behind it, the actual everyday tweeters, to help power our show. And if it weren't for them, and if it weren't for this platform, you know, we wouldn't be as dynamic as a show that we are.
Let's take a look at another two examples of news sites using their communities to shape stories.
I'm Jason Mills. I'm the editor of web development at ITV News. What that really means is that I'm responsible for the editorial content of the national part of the itv.com/news website. The thinking behind the site is it's about news now. News is a live process. News continuously comes in, stories develop the whole time. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to tell that news in real time. People now are used to consuming content in a stream, as it were, from Twitter to Facebook timelines, etc. And we wanted to take that concept and adapt it to all news, not just particular stories such as Leveson. That's the main reason behind the site. And I think it's proved incredibly successful so far, and certainly the audience is liking it a lot as well from what we can get.
And ITV News incorporates ideas shared on Twitter into the storytelling process.
I think there are a number of ways that Twitter can be used within a live stream site. First of all, there's the tweets that emanate internally from staff. We use those to help us report events. Staff will use tweets to get information to us in real time. They're oftentimes, we use a mixed bag really. Sometimes they will get content to us by email, etc. But also they will use Twitter as well. For instance, from a court case, when you're trying to break the verdict, Twitter is often the best way now. So we have a mixed message of using Twitter within ITV News. And then I think there's the external sources, and they split up into existing stories and news stories. So Twitter is a fantastic way of adding value to existing stories. What are people saying out there? What is the community saying out there? What are experts saying out there? Often they're using Twitter first now to put out their thoughts. So we will certainly be sourcing Twitter to get some of that content to add to our storytelling in the stream. And then I think it's a source of news stories as well. Stories are increasingly emanating from Twitter, and you need to be aware of those things as they develop. That's a way that we use Twitter as well to help us find news stories.
And now to the website of a music magazine that's been going for 60 years.
I'm Luke Lewis, and I'm editor of NME.com. Obviously, because of the nature of what we do, users tend to be very, very passionate about the bands that they love. And so we wanted to, over the last couple of years, we've been trying to think how we can sort of harness that and use that as a sort of as fuel for the editorial that we do. And our Facebook community especially is really, really active and incredibly outspoken and passionate. So one of the obvious things we started doing was we found that one of the best performing news stories we do on NME.com is one where the headline just begins, NME.com users react to whatever that might be. So quite often it would be, there's a big comeback track. I remember one that did really well was Noel Gallagher came back with his first solo single. And so obviously you get, you know, the initial traffic spike from a big story like that. But we found we could then follow that up by taking the comments that you had underneath that story and taking that and using it as the headline for a fresh story. So NME.com uses hail Noel Gallagher's comeback track as a work of genius, for example. And that worked incredibly well because not only do you get the sort of sustained traffic spike, you also, it's a bit of an ego boost for your users. You know, they like to feel the comment that they left underneath the story is important enough to then be a headline. That worked really well.
And from NME.com's community of commenters to its Twitter following.
We do a lot around hashtags. So we started embedding Twitter widgets within news stories so that you could sort of harness that live activity stream around a given topic you know, you can actually plug that back into the story itself. So that's quite helpful. We have one sort of regular blog series called The Song That Changed My Life. And so when we launched it, we actually embedded in that blog post a Twitter widget with that hashtag, so that as soon as the blog post was live, obviously all our users started sharing the song that changed their life. And actually, you know, feedback in real time to the original blog post. So it's an instantaneous way of sort of harnessing that feedback. And actually that was a great example. And the responses we got were so good, we sort of storified them and put that in a separate blog post, because actually, even though they were just tweet length, we found that they were quite moving and people were really responding in a really quite a passionate way. So that was great. And the fact that when we published that original blog post, it was a top trending topic for about 24 hours. It really, really worked well. I think, again, that's an example of just like using, you know, the passion and the enthusiasm of your users and using it as like a trigger for social feedback.
Here's one more example from NME.com.
NME turned 60 this year. And on the actual birthday, the anniversary of the first issue being published, we were trying to think of ways we could sort of mark that. So I created a hashtag for NME60 and I encouraged users to take pictures of themselves holding up their favorite ever issue of NME. And I wasn't sure if it would really take off, but people really responded to it. And the great thing was we had a whole spread of, you know, new readers, like teenagers, holding up pictures of Arctic Monkeys covers going all the way back, you know, to the 80s. People were holding up pictures of The Cure and The Stones and The Beatles. And so it was a whole spread. And because it was hashtagged, you could then put that in a storify and within 2 minutes create this really sort of rich story that almost told the whole 60-year story of NME just in pictures and tweets.
And from a 60-year-old music magazine to a one-year-old TV show, back to Malika Bilal and how the stream goes for the story less covered.
A lot of the stories that we do are things that we found that other people weren't talking about. And even if they don't turn into a full show, what we do are these things called web exclusives, which is basically a storify that will only be on the web but get lots of hits and actually bring us lots of traffic, because they will include interviews from the people that are involved in that stories, you know, video, tweets, other things that may not make for great TV because they're not just enough to flesh out a whole half hour, but are something that people are talking about and news that you might not find in other places. An example of something that we found in social media that turned into a great story for us was a hashtag that was trending, RIP Amina. And this is a story about a young Moroccan girl who committed suicide after being forced to marry her rapist. This is something we saw trending on Twitter, RIP Amina, and mentioned it one day in the segment that I do called The Lead, which is basically three stories that we're following that we kind of put a call out for. If you're following this story, feel free to let us know, or just to let you know we're following the story and we're looking into it, and it could turn into a longer show later. So that's a segment we do. We mentioned it in a segment when we saw the hashtag trending. The next day we did a web exclusive collating kind of all of the Twitter responses and just the internet reaction to the fact that this young girl committed suicide. And then because there was so much response to that from our community and just on the, you know, the net in general, we turned that into a longer show. And so that was a full show with a guest on women's rights in Morocco. And also she was on the couch, someone else on Skype who was from Morocco, and then a Google Hangout with people, some Moroccan, others American. And that's just a great example of something that, you know, wouldn't have been turned into a story and really wouldn't have been covered that much in the news if it hadn't been broken on social media.
Jason Mills from ITV News and Luke Lewis from NME.com will both be speaking at our News Rewired Digital Journalism Conference in July. For more on that, go to newsrewired.com. You've been listening to a journalism.co.uk podcast.